Hey, welcome back, Grace Point. Good to see you again tonight. Welcome. We've been going through Matthew. It's been really exciting. I think we've done like seven sessions on the chapter 5. There's just a lot there, and I get passionate about it. It's just a great topic. We left off talking about Jesus had said, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and he said, don't resist an evil person. And there's just so much there. It really rolls right into this next section that we're going to talk about tonight, about loving your enemies. So flip over to that. I believe it's verse 43. But he says, you have heard, again, here he goes again. You have heard under law, it is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, or I say unto you, boop, raising the bar again, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Are not even tax collectors, sinners doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what good are you doing than other people? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I just want to come right out the gate here, start with the last first. He says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He's not telling you to obey every jot and tittle or letter of the law. The only way you're going to be perfect is going to be out of walking out of your heart, out of the Spirit in love. Perfection, the love walk, all those things, they come out of the Spirit. They come out of the heart. That's the only way that you'd ever be perfect in your walk with God. It's out of your heart. You know, I think King David talked about having a perfect heart, you know. I have found too, Brian, the way that I keep my heart perfect or I keep my heart aligned. Paul says in Colossians 3, he says, if you're dead with Christ, he said, seek those things that are above. He says, fix your heart on things that are above. If we prioritize the kingdom of heaven and we keep focusing on Jesus, we don't get off on all these things going on around us. Our hearts can be perfected in that love of Christ. We're fixing on Him. We're fixing on eternity. We're fixing on God. We're allowing the Spirit to move and build us up and to stir in us. Then we can be perfected. And it's really being perfected in love. And that's what I really believe that's what God's talking about there, being perfect in the love of God. And He talks about, He quotes again, you have heard that it is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Flip over to Leviticus chapter 19. Let's just go. Again, I've talked about and I've said that, you know, everything that Jesus is saying here is anchored in the Old Testament because He's teaching Jews that are under law and He's teaching them the real intent of Torah. And one person said to me recently, Jesus was teaching us how to walk in the Torah or whatever. Well, in a sense, that's what He was doing with these Jews. He was teaching the real intent of the Torah, but not the letter. And that's what you have to get, not the letter. Someone will say that, then they'll put themselves right under the letter of the law. No, it's what He's trying to teach. It's not the letter. The Torah was a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ, and now that you have the substance, faith is the substance of things hoped for, okay, you don't need the shadow anymore. You've got the reality. You don't need the letter when you have the reality. You're not under types and shadows anymore. You don't need that law. The law is like a structure or a form. Just say, for example, that you're laying concrete, you know. Brian, when you drop concrete, you just drop it into a hole or into a thing, let it ooze out anywhere. Well, no, what do you got to do first? I remember I used to be a brick hodder, and they had carpenter masons. What they did, Brian? They build structures, okay? Okay, the law is kind of like that structure. You know, you dump that concrete in there and it oozes out, and that law, it gives the structure, it gives borders. It gives height and dimension and guise so that concrete will stay in that structure. Folks, Jesus, he's that living law. He is the substance, and he's just flowing right into your heart. And he is, you don't need a carpenter mason to structure it in, because his love is limitless. The height and the depth and the breadth of the love of Christ. Paul says it knows no limits. There's no limit on the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul talked about there's no limits on the fruit of the Spirit. There's no law against it. You can love as much as you want to. Isn't that amazing, Lily? You can love as much as you want to. You don't need any structure on it. You can have as much joy as you want to. You don't need a carpenter mason to come in and put a boundary around how much joy. You can have as much self-control as you want to. There's no limit on how much self-control you can have or how much goodness. There's no law against it. You don't need that carpenter mason anymore to come in and build a boundary or a limit or a structure. And you're not under that. Isn't that good news? Lily, get as much of Jesus as you can. But Jesus is teaching those that are under law, and so he's pulling out the law, and he's trying to show them what the Torah was really trying to do. Okay, so in verse 18, Leviticus 19, he says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So Jesus is just quoting out of the Old Testament, telling them to love their neighbor as themselves. But he says, my righteousness exceeds that. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to love people that are persecuting you. I want you to love people that are different than you. I want you to love people that you consider to be sinners. I want you to be like your Father in heaven. That's one of the things. Sometimes I work out. I do, you know, evangelistic work. You know, I go down to the park. And, you know, like we're doing the summer feeding and I'm around kids, or some, you know, I've been down to like different shelters and I'm around people, or I go out and I evangelize. One of the things that's really refreshing about doing evangelism, sometimes I love being around people that don't know the Lord. You know, I just feel God's love so much for people. I never feel God's anger or ire. You know, just recently, I was sharing with a young lady down at the park, and she told me she was a Satanist. She's just a young girl. I think she's like 16 years old, and trying to figure out why she was a Satanist. I think in times past, I might have been freaked out by that and ran the other way. I don't know what I would have done. But, you know, I was talking to her. I guess she's my enemy, right? She's the enemy of God. She says she's choosing to follow Satan. I felt nothing but love for her. Nothing but love. God's love. Invited her to youth group, wanted to talk to her, wanted to share the gospel with her. I guess she's my enemy. You know, you can get to the place in God where when people actually persecute you, God can pour his life and his love into you that you can forgive them. Folks, it's not natural. It's supernatural. Forgiveness and love, loving your enemies, it is supernatural. And you have to walk in the Spirit. That's a good indication whether you're walking in the Spirit or not. If you can't love your enemies, when people do bad things to you, and you can't find the grace of God in your heart to love them, you're really trying to operate out of your own righteousness or your own ability. God can fill you up with his love and his person, that people can do bad things to you, and there's nothing inside of you but grace to give people. I preached a few Sundays back where I said, God's teaching me that all I have to give people is grace. I don't have anything else to give people. I know that God gave me grace. He continues to give me grace. He continues to show me mercy. All I have to give people is grace. I have found that is such a peaceful life. It's such a joyful life to live that way. So we got to learn to love our enemies. Think about it. There are some Christians that they live in like a hunker down, bunker down mentality. And it's like they're always afraid of the world. Like, oh, they're passing this law in Congress. And, oh, you know, they're doing this over here. Oh, my neighbor worships the devil. Or, oh, my neighbor is an atheist. And they hunker down in fear. And thank God your neighbor's an atheist. Now you've got someone that you can share the gospel with. Someone that you can love, you know. They're just always afraid, and they're like, Jesus, come back and rescue us from this world. No, before Jesus comes back and rescues this world, he wants to send you out into the world. He says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. We're not supposed to be backing down and hunkering down and, oh, they're passing this law and they're doing this and they're worse. So we are the light of the world. That's how a few weeks back we talked. We are the light of the world. We are the answer of the world. When things get darker, when hatred increases, your love will shine all the brighter. When your enemies come in you like a flood, it says God will raise up a standard against them. He'll fill you with the Spirit. He'll fill you with victory. He'll fill you with love. You're not under the law where you got to try to forgive people, where you got to try to earn something. You're under the Spirit of God. You're under the light of God, where the Spirit of God can flow through you, and you don't have to try to forgive. You don't have to try to love. God's Spirit in you will automatically love people. It's like water coming through your spirit. You say, well, Brother Brad, how do I live that type of life? You can't. You can't live the Sermon on the Mount. It's impossible. That's what Jesus is getting at. You couldn't live under the law. How are you going to live under Jesus when he keeps bumping the standard up? You can't. I tell you what I do is I get on my knees before the Lord and I said, Lord, I can't do this. Jesus is saying, that's right, Brad. And I get before him and I worship him and I praise him. But Lord, your word says that I am your righteousness. Lord, your Spirit is in me and I'm going to trust you and I'm going to live by faith. Lord, your word says that you want to live your life of love out through me, and I just believe that, and I'm going to go out into the world today. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, give me grace. I know it's not me. If it's bad, it's Brad. If it's good, it's God. Or like I said a few weeks ago, Arthur Blessed said, he said, Jesus did it. When we get a Jesus did it mentality, then we know when we go out into the world, it's no longer I that live. It's Christ. Of course you can't do it, but Christ can. I was in the gym the other day, and there was a guy in there, and I think two or three times I tried to talk to him. I just say, Lord, I'm available. And I tried to talk to him, but he had those earbuds in. And so finally he gets done and he's walking out. And I think I said something to him. And I said, Lord, there's nothing I can do. That guy, he's got those earbuds in so hard. He's listening to music. And so he left the gym. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, this guy walks back from his car. He walks back into the gym. He forgot his phone. And guess what? He didn't have his earbuds in this time. So when he came in without his earbuds, I said, hey, how you doing? We started talking. I'm telling you, it was the easiest thing in the world to talk to this guy. And just through our conversation, I found out that he'd been gone through a divorce. He was having trouble with his kids. He was having trouble with his girlfriend. I learned about his dreams and what he wanted to do and how he wanted to go to school. I learned about his past, he told me. And the opportunity came for me to share with him the gospel. I felt the love of God. He had faults in his life. He had problems in his life. He had problems with alcohol. And I felt the love of God come out through me. And folks, it was easy as could be. It just flowed out like a river because it was Jesus. The Lord sent him back there without his headsets in so I could talk to him. And Lily, it wasn't me trying. I've had 100 times, Lily, 1,000 times where I've tried to do that and couldn't do it and failed. The more I realize and admit to God that I can't do it, that it's impossible for me to love my brother, It's impossible for me to obey my mom and dad. The more I admit that to God and I ask for grace, do you know God's power and goodness and love always flow to the lowest place? Do you know water always seeks out the lowest place? Comes from the hill. When we get humble before God and say, Lord, I've sinned. I haven't obeyed your law. I haven't obeyed. And we get before God and humble ourselves. His grace comes in. Paul said that God's grace, his strength, is made perfect in our weakness. No, you can't love your enemies. That's the last thing you want to do in your flesh. You want vengeance. You want the wrath of God on them. I want mercy for me. I want judgment on you. No, no. We want mercy and grace on everybody and let God judge people. That's why when Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged, and I know we've been talking about how it's talking about the measure you judge, it'll be measured back to you. But let's be honest, he said, judge not. You could put a period right there. He expands on it and says how you judge, you're going to be judged, but he tells you not to judge. He's talking about condemning people. If you sin and I know it, it's not wrong for me to know it. If you lie to me and I challenge you on it, that's not judging. Judging is condemnation. I have no right to condemn you. I can't sentence you. I owe you forgiveness because I've been forgiven for everything. I'm not your judge. Who is your judge? Lily, who's your judge? God, that's right. Not me. So even though I know you might have done wrong, I'm not your sentencer. I'm not your condemner. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. God's given me grace. God's given me mercy. You know, even though you said bad things about me and you gossiped about me and you said that, I choose to love you. I choose to forgive. I want mercy. I give you mercy. Even the hardest sinner. And if you're struggling with that, we just get on our face before God. Anything we struggle with, and we ask God for his grace and his mercy. And that's where it comes in, the measure you measure. Do you want mercy? Be merciful. You want forgiveness? Be forgiving. You don't want to be judged? Then don't judge. That's where all that comes in. It's a spiritual law. And I tell you, when I really walk in it, people, and sometimes I do. When I do, it's God's grace. It's his spirit. When I'm prioritizing the spirit, it is a beautiful place to live. You can't be offended. You really can't get hurt because God will heal your hurts. You're a love channel. It's a beautiful place to live. That is the place of the Beatitudes. That's what Jesus is getting at, living a supernatural life in the Spirit, not the letter, not legalism, but the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. We'll conclude chapter 5 right there. I could preach on it forever. And we'll just break in or bust into chapter 6 next week. It's really enjoying this. I hope you're getting something out of it. I love you. I bless you in Jesus' name. See you next week.